When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Riker. Sponsored by The Bagwell, Daddy Scrubs, Born Before 64, Apteka Natural, Gravity First, iMarketing, and Dan Perkins Author on W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Riker, and our guest today is Jason Dowd, our expert photographer, artist, and PR media publicist. He's going to be discussing pinups and the new series he's doing, A Walk Through Time, about period photography using modern equipment. Jason was born in 1978 in Bristol, Connecticut. His father, a novice photographer, was always taking photos, which inspired Dowd to work with photography as he got older. He started with a 18mm flash Cub camera when he was 6 years old and now works with some of the best professional equipment. Dowd's style is not like what you would expect. He doesn't have fancy gadgets to determine lighting. He does it by the eye. He uses natural lighting and manipulates that whenever possible because it creates a more profound effect. Dowd's popularity came from his hauntingly beautiful Dreams, Nightmares, Fears, and Fantasy collection, which has been seen around the world. He also is known for his beautiful World collection that depicts the different cultures in their native dress or attempts to open our eyes to the beauty around us and hopefully thwart racism. He is currently working on A Walk Through Time, which takes period photography styles from the mid-1800s and goes through the 1970s. It specializes in pinups, period feel, and realism through imagery. Only he uses a modern camera to accomplish it. I want to welcome you to our show today. How are you?
I'm doing Jason. Good. How are you?
Well, if my computer problems would be good, then I'd be happy.
I'm having right? the same thing. It must be the Tuesdays or something.
I don't know. Actually, I lost iTunes. I got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But does that happen in the photography world?
Oh, absolutely it can. It just happened to me just a few minutes ago. My entire hard drive, I just bought it. I had probably 6 or 7 series on there. It completely crashed. It's no good anymore. I'm going to have to try to go and get it restored maybe, like through Best Buy or something. I don't know. I just hope it's not going to cost me a couple grand.
Wow. Unbelievable. I know the feeling well. And so tell me a little bit about this new collection and tell me all about it.
Yeah. Excuse me. The collection actually started out with my fascination of old photography. I think the first time I ever saw really some old photography was when I was up in my great aunt's house up in Connecticut there. We went into the basement, and down there was this old photo album. And inside this photo album, I had daguerreotypes and some tintypes, all in one storage spot hidden underneath the stairs. And when we were looking at them, we got to see some people in that house way before my family even owned it. Didn't even know it was there. In fact, it was probably there for over 100 years. And that really kind of spiced up my love of these things. I love the feel of the clothing, the hairstyles, the personalities, and just the style of the photography. And then I started getting into my great aunt's other side of her house that she never ever used. And up there was a whole bunch of old Look magazines, Saturday Evening Post, all kinds of cool things. And I just loved the feel of those particular era photos. You know, even if they were drawn, you can see the hairstyles. It's historic in so many different ways. And so that kind of grew my love for it. And then I started collecting the old photos. I started going out and buying daguerreotypes. I started getting ambrotypes. I started getting carte de vis. I started getting tintypes and all types of photos from the 1800s all the way up until now. And the more that I look at it, you can see how America changed. And you kind of wonder how they changed. Why did they come here? What's their story? And I realized that I didn't know it at first until I really started to think about it, because when I was younger, all I knew is that we had one type of camera, and that's the kind that we had at this point in time. And when I started researching it, I realized that there was so many different types of cameras and how they used them. So just a couple years ago, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try an experiment. I really love pinups. I really love the style of photography, that the nostalgia it brings to it. So I was going to go set out and do my own particular series called A Walk Through Time. And what I'm going to try to do is capture everything that you would see in an old-fashioned photo. Doesn't matter the year. I'm going to try to bring in period clothing, period backgrounds, using modern equipment. My modern digital camera to replicate those exact fields. And the only way to really get those exact fields that I've seen is to actually use those old cameras. But I'm going to try it a different way because I think I can. And what I have produced already has given me the feel that I've been wanting to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so important, I think. And, you know, I really believe what you do. I mean, if you go on to your, where, you know, some of the pieces that you've already done on your website, so they can get a real feel for it.
Yeah, it's www.dowd. That's dog o w dog. Studios with an S at the end, .com. I have all my series up there. I have all four volumes of the Dreams, Nightmares, Fears, and Fantasies. I have the Walk Through Time. I have Beautiful People of the World and other kinds of series up there. But if you look through A Walk Through Time, you'll see the ones that I've done. And I've taken like a late 1890s type of feel. I went out there. I used my camera that I have now, my digital camera. And mm-hmm. just by using the settings, I gave it that daguerreotype feel, or the ambrotype feel, which is the a little bit of a haze, a little bit of light exposure, but yet that ambiance of the 1800s. Because I actually went into a house that was around 1890 down here and shot it with period clothing. And one of the ones I just recently did, and this is one that I have always wanted to do, was Riveter Rosie. I know you know who Riveter Rosie is, because
oh,
she's like
yeah,
one of the most iconic people of the 40s. And I actually found a model that looks almost just like her. And it was a really cool shoot to do because, I mean, that really showed the women and how they really helped helped their country during a time of crisis. I mean, a lot of them gave up their housewife jobs. Some of them did both. They went to work. They worked using these heavy riveters in these god-awful conditions, just to make sure that we had that our troops over there had supplies. So it really shows the strength of women, yet it brings that beauty out too. And that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I really wanted to do that piece.
Wow. And was that exciting for you to do?
It was. And you know, the funny thing is you see all these pictures on magazines and on posters and stuff like that. And when this model got out of the car, it actually kind of did like a double take. It actually like made me freeze up a little bit, because I'm like, oh my God, this woman could be literally Riveter Rosie.
Wow. So it's when you met her, were you surprised?
I was. The only thing that she didn't have on yet was the shirt, because she didn't want to mess up her hair. We did that when we got in, when I brought her in to take the picture. And but she looks just like her. And honestly, she has a Riveter Rosie tattoo on her arm, so we had to cover up the tattoo. But you know, the funny thing is that it really is the epitome of a strong woman. She works for the police department. She has two kids. You know, the job that she deals with is not an easy job at all. She's juggling her family, she's got two wonderful kids, and she herself loves vintage pinup style photos. So she really was the epitome of what Riveter Rosie was. And just her looks, I mean, everything about her was just so authentic. I'm like, you know, I don't see how we could screw this picture up. You know?
Yeah. So now,
I've seen a lot of duplicates.
Now, did you get her to come in and now do you pay people, or do they just what happens when you do a model like that? Do you have to?
Well, I do it two different ways. One of them I do, if somebody comes up to me and they want to do a pinup shoot of their own, then yeah, it's like a regular studio fee that I charge, and we set it up, and I go. If they want something a little bit more like a home style one that you'd see, like the uh-huh. Susie Homemaker and stuff, I'll try to find a period location that will work with that. Otherwise, you always got the white backgrounds, the pink backgrounds, the blue backgrounds, the Coca-Cola style commercial type thing. Those can be done in studio. Now, for this particular one, because it was a piece of art that I wanted to create, what we did is we did a mutual agreement where she gets to use the photo and I get to use the photo. So it's called Time for Photos, or TFP, for people that are trying to figure out what that means. That means basically they give me their time, I give them my time, and yet we share a common goal, which was the photo. So they can use the photo, I can use the photo, and what I try to do is a little bit extra, because I like to try to make them money too, because it's important. So if I happen to sell something or what have you, I give them 50% of every piece that I sell, as long as they're inside of it.
Okay, I'll come to work for you. But you already do. We already work together, which makes it nice. You're one of my favorite people in the world. You get what I want, and and that's really important. So I know that we did a couple of things. What I'd like to do, and I know Debbie from Jolie Boutique, who's one of our sponsors, who's now part of our fashion and design, she's coming down to Florida, and I am too, and I want to go back to that wonderful place that you took me to where we found those gorgeous hats.
Yeah, and, that was La France.
And what's the name of that place?
That was La France.
La France, yes, because I should have bought that hat when I saw it, because I don't know if they have it anymore. And it looks, you know, I really love hats, and everybody that's seen the hat that we did and the cape and hat that we did together say it looks absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. So I'm getting to the point now that I want to do, I think you would agree that I photo well. So there's some people that are photogenic, and then there's other people that, and I think every photographer that's a really good photographer like you are, an artist, can really capture people's souls, you know, no matter what they look like.
Right.
And when they say that you're not photogenic, what does that mean?
Well, it can mean a couple of different things. You know, some people, doesn't matter how they sit up, how they portray themselves, the camera just does not capture that. I mean, the photographer can only try to get that out of you, but if you don't release that and, you know, really believe in this and really show your personality, then you're not really photogenic. I'm not photogenic. you know, every time people see me, I either have one eye closed, I'm sneezing, I got that dumb look on my face, you know, or I just sit there and I'm stale. You know, I'm not one that brings out the personality that people would go, wow, that's a great photo of you. The only time you're really going to get something like that from me is if I'm running around and not paying attention, not knowing I have a camera in my face. And there's a lot of people like that, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But you're not going to get the feel if you don't believe. And, you know, that's one of the hardest things for a photographer to do. We can kind of try to get you to do that and get you to believe in the picture and stop worrying about it. And that's really what the biggest problem is. A lot of people are so self-conscious about their hair or their teeth or their lips or their blemishes or their wrinkles that they completely freeze. And they're mm-hmm. very uncomfortable, and you can tell that they're uncomfortable. So the object is to go in there and be yourself.
Right. And on that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back on Katherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
We'll be right back after we pay a few bills. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker on W4CY.
There is something ominous on the horizon which will affect the whole world. In the recently published book, Brotherhood of the Red Nile, author Dan Perkins takes you on an oh-my-gosh ride that will take your breath away because you'll swear it isn't true while you hope and pray it never happens. But know in your heart, it might be happening now. The Brotherhood of the Red Nile is book one in this incredible trilogy that's been pulled from the headlines while being explored by the author. Can it be true? Free some time on your schedule, because once you begin reading, you won't be able to put it down. The Brotherhood of the Red Nile is available at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or Smashwords.com. Read a teaser at Dan Perkins at Sanibel.com. Author Dan Perkins is a noted author, speaker, and registered investment advisor with more than 40 years' experience in the business world. He's available for speaking engagements as well. To contact him or to find out more about his fantastic new book, go to Dan Perkins at Sanibel.com.
Hi, this is Rick Pollack with Ultimate Air Shuttle. I have exciting news to share. Ultimate Air Shuttle is expanding. Now you can fly nonstop to New York City from Lunkin Airport or CVG Airport. Our customers will receive the same VIP flight experience, including fast and hassle-free check-in, free parking, and no baggage fees. Also, free ground transportation between the two airports. Experience VIP air travel to New York City, Chicago, and Charlotte. Visit UltimateAirShuttle.com.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Turners LLC as direct air carrier.
Are you tired of spilling food all over the place, making a mess? Not anymore. The Bagwell is here to give you an extra helping hand in the kitchen. The Bagwell is a cook's best friend. It pops up to hold the baggie open so you can pour, fill, and store food in a baggie easily with no spilling. The Bagwell is the hands-free way to pour and fill a baggie, even with messy foods like chili and casseroles. The Bagwell is quick and easy to use. Just pop it open, fold back a cuff at the top of the baggie, spread the cuff over the arms of the Bagwell, and you're ready to pour, fill, seal, and store. The Bagwell is dishwasher safe and folds flat for easy storage. Plus, it eliminates the clutter of plastic tubs and lids and saves space in your cabinets, dishwasher, refrigerator, and freezer. Use the Bagwell all over the house, anywhere you use a baggie. Pop open the Bagwell and have the kids pick up their puzzle pieces, crayons, and Legos. Is your garage a mess? Sort nuts, bolts, nails, and screws with ease using the Bagwell. Get a Bagwell for yourself, your friends, your family, for anyone who could use a helping hand.
ProstaSmart Naturel is an amazing combination of effective ingredients that support prostate health. ProstaSmart Naturel is a convenient, effective, all-natural prostate health dietary supplement. It's commonly recognized that there are prescription drugs for prostate issues, but they're generally expensive and carry side effects that can be risky. ProstaSmart Naturel is all natural, more affordable, and effective. Prostate problems are one of the most common types of issues for older men. While they can be treated, it still affects millions of men. Prostate health is not just about reducing the times you need to go to the bathroom and is about more than regaining sexual potency. While it is vital that you routinely discuss your prostate health with your healthcare provider, there is a safe and natural way to improve both your prostate and urinary health. Enter Apteca Naturel's ProstaSmart Naturel. For more information, go to AptecaNaturel.com. That's APTEKANATUREL.com. I use ProstaSmart Naturel,
and you should too.
Let's Just Talk is back on W4CY. Here's Catherine.
We are back with one of my favorite people on earth, and that is Jason Dowd. And he's not only an artist, commercial photographer, artist, but also a publicist and a PR guy. You've got lots of things rolled into one, Jason. I mean, I haven't met too many people that are quite like you. So how'd you get so talented? That's my question.
Honestly, three-quarters of the stuff I've ever done, I've never went to school for. The only thing I actually went to school for was drafting, and I learned CAD, the CAD system. And I wanted to be I wanted to be an architect, but I was kind of tricked into believing that you could be a drafter and become an architect. So I spent a lot of money doing that and realizing after I got out that that's all I will ever be is a drawer. And I didn't really want to draw, I wanted to design. So what I did is I kind of fell back on some of my other strengths and being photography and going back into the fine arts and writing and just kind of doing stuff like that. And I really kind of had to come out of my shell a lot because a lot of it was I was sabotaging my own self. I kept thinking that, what if somebody doesn't like this? What if somebody doesn't appreciate it? And I realized, what does it matter? And, I'm doing it for me, and for everyone you're gonna get to like it, somebody's not gonna like you. So I can only focus on the people that I actually actually will appreciate and accept what I do. So that's kind of where it started from, and then I just got more interest. I got more interest, and I saw video, and I started doing video. And one of my clients came up to me one time and said, "Hey, do you do video?" I said, "Well, yeah, I videotape stuff." And he's like, "Great." He goes, here's a computer. He slapped me down a Macintosh with a Final Cut Pro in it. Said, "You got a week to get me this video." I was like, "What?" I never even used a Macintosh before other than in school. That was just for WordPress, WordPerfect mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I taught myself that. I taught myself computers. I mean, after I lost a couple hundred bucks on a modem that took literally 15 minutes to fix, I'm like, well, it can't be that hard. So I took my computer apart and, just started playing around with computers that way. And same with photography. I try different things. Some things don't work, sometimes they do.
Right.
So basically the way that I have become who I am is just not being afraid to try. If you really want to be a success at something, you can't be afraid to fail. If you're afraid to fail, then you never will become a success because you're going to be too hesitant and you're actually going to cause yourself self-sabotage.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you were mentoring a young person, what would you suggest to them? They are wanting to change careers. They love, certain type of things. And what would you say to them? Follow your dreams. What would you do?
I'd always tell them to follow their dreams. Don't ever, ever, ever not follow your dreams, because then what you're going to have is regret, and you don't ever want to have regret, no matter what you do. So the most important thing that I can tell them to do is to follow their dreams, but always have a backup plan, which means, yeah, I wanted to be an artist really bad, but the art really doesn't pay. And until you get yourself a really good name, it's going to be very hard to make a living. So don't just stop doing what you're doing in order to get your dreams. Sometimes the dreams take a lot of sacrifice, takes a lot of work. And sometimes that sacrifice is you don't have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to dedicate it to. Now, if you have a really big trust fund that you can just kind of expel from, great, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But if you don't, like I did, then the only way that I could do it is to physically take another job and try to love the job that you're doing. Because one of the things that you fall into is you're like, oh, man, I hate this job. I wish I could be doing this. And what you're actually doing is sabotaging the job that you do have for something that may not work in the long run. So, always put your heart and soul into it. Always put your passion behind it. Believe in yourself and don't worry about what other people say. But also don't sabotage your current life and your current situation, because if you wake up one morning and you spend all this money and it failed and you don't have any money to back you up, now you're going to have probably, I don't know how many months to years of having no job or no references. So if you have to go back to work, you're going to find yourself in a real big pickle.
That's for sure. And I think there's a lot of young people out there that feel like, they aren't happy in the job that they're in, but they're too impatient to wait for it to happen, right? So what happens
That's the generation we're in. It's the satisfied, got to be satisfied now generation. And, you know, they really want everything handed to them. They want all the success, but they want it handed to them, and they want to be able to be comforted and blanketed throughout their entire life. And we can't go like that, you know. There has to be that time, even when parents let their children, you know, grow up and move out, they got to realize that they can't protect that child their entire life. You know, they got to let them fall once in a while. And once we can realize that it's okay to fall and you learn from those mistakes, you're going to be fine. But you're right. I mean, there's so many kids that just want to have it right now, and they do a lot more damage to themselves than they could.
For sure, and I'm seeing more and more of that today. It's really kind of scary when you think about it, because they're going to be the people that are going to be running our government, are going to be running everything about us, and you know, a lot of them have not paid their dues yet in this world, and that's kind of the sad thing, is that they don't understand that you just can't get that perfect job right away.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. I mean,
it takes a lot of
dedication. You know, everybody believes in the get rich quick, and they want money right then and there. But if they happen to get it, it's usually either short lived. So, you know, they did something illegal to get it, and then they end up losing it in one shot. Or they get it and it gets stolen from.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Them all the time. Or they end up not looking at their long-term future. So what they have, they get it, they spend it really fast because they think they can make it very fast, you know, just as easy. And sometimes that second go-around doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the sad part, you know, is mm-hmm. that they can't understand why it's just not happening right this minute. And then they get frustrated, and they do stupid things instead of being smart about it. And that's what I see a lot of young people doing, you know. Or they've spent a lot of money doing, you know, going to broadcasting school or going to acting school, and then it doesn't happen right away, and they freak out. They don't understand
yeah.
that sometimes in our world of the arts, it's a constant situation where, you know, it just takes time to do stuff, you know?
Right. And you know what? One of the biggest pieces of advice I can give to somebody in the arts, too, and if they especially want to pursue a career in it, do not listen to your family and friends, because very seldom will they tell you the honest-to-God truth. And a lot
or they won't encourage you to do it. They'll encourage you to go somewhere else with what you know. I'll never forget. My mom wanted me to go into something, and I hate to tell you, I hadn't started college yet, and I thought, well, I'll just go out and work. And what happened was, I went down to the oil docks down here on the river, and I went to work as a bookkeeper. I hated every moment of it. I lasted 1 week. I am a people person, and you really think, you'd almost think you know your own strengths. If you like, say for instance, you love computers and you love social media and you love that, you know, when you're going to, and you're still in college, be somebody's intern as a social media person. You can make good money, you know?
Right.
Right? So.
That's right, yeah.
And then you can always apply some of your your experience or even as a volunteer or whatever. You know what I mean? I'll never forget, Jason. I went to, we moved around a lot with my husband's job. So I was always changing jobs all the time. I mean, it just was part of the job for him. So I'll never forget going to Newburyport, Massachusetts, and I had been working leasing for a long time, and I had my own little referral club and whatever, and all of a sudden I was out of a job because the guy sold the dealership. So it was either move to this other place, you know, I mean, go farther away to work, or find a job within where the area I was. Well, the chamber didn't want to lose me because they liked what I did. So they helped me find a job. And I went to work for a newspaper. I'd never done newspaper. I'd never done newspaper advertising. And I got to tell you, I excelled. You just use what you have, common sense.
It is. And like I said, you know, when a lot of kids and a lot of young adults, when they're trying to become an actor, actress or photographer or artist or whatever, they go to their parents and they say, do you like this? Well, usually your parents are not going to say, man, that stinks, you know. So a lot of the times what you're being heard, what you're hearing is not, it's not the truth. They don't want to hurt your feelings. Friends do the same thing. Some friends are just brutally honest, but sometimes they're not. But what I don't like, and I actually experienced this, is that there was a lot of the professors don't want to tell you that you stink either. You know, and unfortunately what happens is with actresses and actors and stuff like that and artists is that, you know, they're not the greatest people out there. They're going to give them the chance to go out there and find out for themselves. But the problem with it is that it's brutal on these people. And they're like, you know, then they realize, well, why didn't somebody tell me this a long time ago? You know, before I spent $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 at school to find out I'm not good and I have to go back and really train a little bit more. And, you know, that's the problem that these kids get into. And then they get discouraged and then they don't want to do anything anymore. Doesn't mean you can't do it. I mean, obviously not everybody can pick up a camera and do it. I mean, I cannot sing, and I would never go out there to try to sing. I'll do it at karaoke for a good laugh, but I'm not going to try to make a life
record. Right.
Exactly.
And on that
on
that note, we really have to take a break, Jace, and we'll be right back with Jason Dowd, photographer, artist, PR person, and publicist.
We'll be right back after we pay a few bills. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Riker on W4CY.
Hi, I'm Katherine Riker, and are you going through menopause like I am, or premenopause, and want something that is safe for you and is a natural product? I searched everywhere, and through a friend's suggestion, I discovered this great new product that is helping me feel fabulous. It's called Estroaid by Apteca Naturelle. I'm using it along with my hormone replacement therapy, and I really love the fact that the product attacks and reduces the symptoms I'm having. You know, like night sweats, hot flashes, and the irritability that comes with menopause. Estroaid is a three-pronged approach. It's safe and it's all natural. It attacks and reduces the symptoms of menopause. Estroaid supports bone health by helping the body's absorption of calcium. And it supports optimal health during my hormone replacement therapy. You know, Estroaid is supported by intense research and numerous clinical studies with multiple patents. For more information about Estroaid, go to their website at aptecanaturelle.com. That's aptecanaturelle.com. I did, and I'm so glad I did.
Hi, this is Katherine Riker, and you know, I have so many sleepless nights until I got a Gravity First Elevated Sleep System mattress. You know, it used to keep me up at night because I have acid reflux, I had heartburn, but you know, people that have reflux with pregnancy, GERD, snoring, sinus congestion, cold and flu symptoms need a good night's sleep. So that's why the Gravity First Elevated Sleep System mattress helps you do that. Gravity First utilizes simple gravity to prevent you from being robbed of your valuable sleep. The inflatable, multi-patented design of Gravity First fits on top of any mattress or box springs and comes in four sizes, twin, full, queen, and king. And because Gravity First is inflatable, you can take it when you travel. It also allows you to sleep in any normal position, unlike short wedges or mountains of pillows. Gravity first elevates your sleep experience to a whole new level of comfort and keeps your head elevated throughout the night. Gravity first is the number one doctor recommended lifestyle change for acid reflux, heartburn, and GERD. It's also effective, used for many other health issues like allergies, snoring, sinus congestion, and pregnancy. So do what I do and go out there and get that Gravity First mattress. You'll have such a wonderful experience. Go to their website at www.gravityfirst.com.
Let's Just Talk is back on W4CY. Here's Catherine.
We are back on Let's Just Talk with our expert. Actually, he's everything. Publicist, artist, graphic design. He does all of it. And, you know, right before the break, we were talking about mentoring young hopefuls and even older hopefuls. You know, sometimes, Jason, there are people, there's a lot of people that are out of work today and or have retired and don't want to just sit on, you know, sit on the couch. They want to get out and do something. Would you suggest to them a photography class if they've ever loved photography, or something that would keep them active and maybe encourage their art?
I would always tell them to do something that they're interested in. If they're not interested in it, their heart and soul aren't going to be in it. You know, for photography, you know, one thing that you have to be able to do is show people what you see through that lens. You have to be able to capture that moment and that emotion that you see when you do that. Nobody can teach you that. So if you can't find that for yourself, all you're going to be is just a photographer, and it's never going to get any type of recognition. So you really have to be able to put yourself into that photo. And same thing with art and any type of art that you do. So make sure that it represents you. And one of the things that I've always found fascinating is a lot of these people get up and they go to these little classes, sometimes a one-day class. They come out thinking they're experts, and then they go and start to do what they need to do and try to pursue this thing. And they talk down to other people or they critique other people, when sometimes they have to critique themselves first. You know, and I have to do a lot of critiquing about myself. I don't like to critique other people, but I do critique myself a lot. So one of the things that I would suggest to them is don't critique anybody else until you are 100% sure you have found exactly what you're trying to do. And one of the other things that comes with following your passion is sometimes you get people that like to copy. And when you find people that like to copy you, sometimes they try to capture your exact same style and content and whatever else you're trying to do. So the object with that is you have to be able to have enough expertise and passion in your heart to be able to modify, grow, and get out of that little cocoon that you're in, because you always want to try to better yourself and get out of that specific cocoon where you are, this is who you are and this is only who you are. And when other people take over and they may do a little bit better than you, or maybe they put a little bit of their own spin onto it, now you're going to be losing a lot more attention. So you have to be able to overcome that. And if you don't have the passion to do that, it's never going to happen. The other thing is that you're going to get critiqued a lot by people that you don't even know and may not have even picked up a camera or a paintbrush or anything like that. They're going to level you. Anybody that's in the arts, regardless of what type of art it is, must have a strong constitution about themselves, because everybody's going to have an opinion. And you got to make sure that you don't take that opinion to heart, because I know you put your heart and soul into it, so technically it's a representation of you. But that doesn't mean that somebody else is going to like it. And if they don't like it, they're not attacking you, they're attacking your art. My suggestion to people that are in that situation is don't throw out those negative comments. Take them to heart. Because there's going to be other people that feel the same way. And if you can tailor those negative comments into some artwork that helps represent what these people were looking for, you might be able to attach to a whole new group of people.
That's true. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, because, you know, everybody sees art is in the eye of the beholder, especially when, you know, you know, there's some pieces of artwork I think that are just magnificent. And, you know, I've represented photographers before as artists, right? And I am very fortunate that some of them gave me their work, some of their work. So, you know, I'm still waiting from Jace for you, Jace. I mean, you haven't been up to my home yet, so we have to invite you up here because all of their work, all of my artist's work is hanging on my walls. It is my art. I live with it every day. Even the kids' art that I did in Partners in Art Education, the program I came up with, I'm sitting here staring at it right now and going, oh, my gosh. I wonder where these kids are today, because when they were in the 6th and 7th grade, they were so talented, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, and then I'm sitting looking at another picture that an artist from the newspaper did every whenever somebody left. He would do a caricature of that person as a gift from the paper. You know, so I'm surrounded by everybody that I love, you know, and everything that I like. And I think that makes life more palatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and you have such a super wife who really loves you, and doesn't she help you in what you want to do?
Oh, she does. And especially if you're going to follow your passion, it's good to have people that are with you, your family, and wives or spouses or husbands or kids or anybody that actually help support you with that. I mean, see, I ask my wife all the time, do you like this? And sometimes I get, yeah, it's cool. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear, yeah, it's cool. I want to hear the truth. You know, what do you really like? What do you not like about it? Because this is where, you know, I can get feedback. And it's good, like I said, it's very important to get good, truthful feedback. Because if you don't, and you go running out there and throw it to people, you're going to get it there. And it's much easier to get the bad feedback in front of one person that you love than 100 people that can't stand you. So, you know, it's really good to have a good support system. And, you know, if your family knows that you want to be something, they should encourage you. And they should help you out. And they should be honest with you. That's if they're not going to tell you the truth because they don't want to hurt your feelings about how bad a piece is or how bad a song is or whatever like that, they're not truly helping you. And so, you know, that's one of the things that me and my wife have been able to do all my life that I've been with her. And even my mom. My mom's completely told me, that's crap. So, say it bluntly, but that's the way I heard it. And it's like, you know, at least I knew then before I went out and made a fool of myself somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so, too. And I think that, you know, people, it's funny because when I started representing photographers, because to me it's a form of art. Photography has always been a form of art, no matter what. And to capture people is truly an art form in itself, because there's some photographers that just don't do people well. They do places, they do things, they can capture other things, but they can't capture people. Is that's something totally different, is it or not?
No, it really is, because, I mean, I can't paint or draw people to save my life, but I can do great landscapes and animals and stuff. But, you know, people don't really think about how hard photography actually is. A lot of people say, oh, it's an easy thing because I just go out there and press a button. But they don't realize that the aspects, the color, the definition, the exposure, the person that you're trying to take the picture of has to be, or the place has to give you what you're seeing and what you're feeling. Why did you want to take this picture? And, you know, the problem with it is that there's nothing that you can do. If one piece is off, the whole photo's off. And you don't have the control of it like you do with a paper and pencil or a canvas and paint, where you can sit there and continue to work on it over time. And if it takes you a month, it takes you a month. With photography, you don't get that. Sometimes you only have a few seconds. And, you know, to get everything right. And if you don't get it right, like if you're taking a picture of an animal in flight, but you moved, even though everything else is right, but you weren't ready for it, you're going to get a blurry photo, and you'll never be able to get that photo back again because you're actually taking an image of something in time, and you can't get time back. So, you know, that's one of the things that people got to realize, how hard photography is. And when I shoot, generally I don't use regular studio lights unless I have to. I don't like to be inside the studio. When I did my Demon and Angel series for Dreams, Nightmares, Fears, and Fantasies, we went into a home that had no electricity whatsoever. And I had to use the light that was coming into the room to create the shadows, to create the effects, to create the power that I needed to create. The only thing I did later was I added a little texture pattern to make it look a little bit more creepy. But everything was done on the camera. And,
Let me ask you a question. Do you do the paranormal as well?
Oh yeah, I love the paranormal. I've been investigating the paranormal ever since I can remember. Passion for it. The time that I really started to get into it and actually investigate was about 2007, when a lot more equipment had come out that was able to. That I was actually able to use, and it was affordable. I mean, this stuff has always been out there, but you're looking at, you know, between 1985 getting a little speaker to go out there and investigate with, compared to today, that little speaker is about the equivalent of what they have today, and it's not as powerful. You know, so I mean, the technology has grown, and what I really like about it is that I love the paranormal. I love to know if there's aliens. I'd love to know if there's ghosts or goblins or whatever you have out there. And if
I can't even believe in all my heart, and I've had some haunting experiences that I think we've talked about, but
yeah, we have.
That people can't really believe that there's something other than themselves, and also that they're, you know, it's nothing else out there in space. I mean, I can't believe that they live in such a narrow world.
Well, here's the thing. If there is ghosts, that means there is an afterlife. That means there very well could be a God. And I truly believe that people do not want to have to answer to anybody. They want to be able to wake up, do whatever they want, and go walking through life without any consequences to themselves. They know that when they die, they're going to die. That's okay. They're going to have as much fun on Earth as they can before they die. Nobody wants to answer to anybody. It's like, you know, if you go out there and throw rocks at cars, you know you're going to have to go home and answer to your parents because somehow it's going to get back to them. So they don't want that. They don't want to answer to anybody. They don't want to sit there and worry about being judged. However, it doesn't take much to be able to accomplish what the Bible asks if you're a Christian or even Muslims. It's not that hard for any type of religion, but people don't want to accept that. They want to just be, okay, this is what I believe in, this is who I am, it's self-gratification, and they just continue to go through their life like that. And if they opened up and believed that they're spirits, then there really could be something that they might have to answer to, and that freaks people out.
That is something else, you know. I mean, I think that people need to look beyond and investigate. Everything that I have on our shows, as you know, I research. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes you can't research it. You have to have faith. You have to believe, you know. I mean, I happen to have some of those experiences. I haven't been taken yet. Maybe they just don't want me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I've been in situations where, you know, especially in England, our house was haunted. There was no way around it. I mean, you can, you know, if things happen to you, I mean, if you are the only person in the house and the windows and doors start opening up and your cats go crazy, you know there's something wrong. Number two, if you have something on a table and you know it's there, you walk into the next room and it's gone when you come back, there's something definitely wrong there. So, you know, I mean, these things are, you know, and sometimes it only happens to certain people, and it happened to my children and it happened to me, but it didn't happen to my husband. You know, so you have to have an open mind, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you have to have an open mind, and people don't want to do that. You know, I found some of the biggest people that hate against Christians are the people that call themselves humanitarians, and they truly want to. They truly believe that, you know, that there is no God, there is no afterlife or anything like that. But they chastise the people that do, and it's like, what does their belief have anything to do with you? If you walk by somebody that's a Christian, you're not going to be turned Christian. If you walk by somebody that's Muslim, you're not going to be turned Muslim. Even if you hear their words, what they say, only if you want to hear it, will that allow you to impact people. I've listened to a lot of different religions, and I've heard so many different, from Native Americans to the Egyptian gods, the Greek gods, the Italian gods, the Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, and I'm not any of those. I'm Christian, you know, but it helps me understand them and helps me understand where they're coming from. You know, I don't hate anybody for their religion, and honestly, their religion has no impact on me whatsoever. Neither does their lifestyle. So, you know, if they want to go out there and preach to me that, you know, that, Allah's my God, that's great. Not going to impact me.
And I think that's important to know. I mean, you know, if we didn't have people that had inventive minds, right, then we wouldn't probably have some of the inventions that we have today. True?
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, think of Thomas Edison. Just him alone. It's unbelievable. I just want to make sure do we still have some more time? Our wonderful producer, Ted, are we at a point where we're almost ending our show?
We're all out of time, Catherine.
Oh, my goodness, we are. And I want to invite you back. Jason, would you come back?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much. And we'll all see you next week on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. Give your website real quick.
Yes, it's dowdstudios.com.
All right, and thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker, sponsored by The Bagwell, Daddy Scrubs, Born Before 64, Apteka Natural, Gravity First, iMarketing, and Dan Perkins Author. This is W4CY.